Good afternoon, everybody. This is SoCal Traffic Cast.
This is Edgar.
And this is Tim, and we got special guest star again, Armando.
What up, my ninjas?
What's up, man?
Ain't nothing going on but the rent.
Welcome to the show. A little belated. We haven't had a show in a few days.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here.
We're behind. Your car is bust ass again. We're driving your ass to work.
Again.
What the hell?
You know, the first time I took it in, they told me it was a part within the transmission that got jammed up and the gears wouldn't go. And so they fixed it. They said no matter how well you clean it, you probably always have to clean it again. So I said, okay, and I gave it a shot, and they cleaned it, and they gave it back. Well, it started doing it again. And this time, it was supposed to be a part that's... It connects to the transmission, but it really isn't one of the transmission parts we replace, so it's going to be $200. So I said, uh-uh. You're going to fix it for free.
Yeah.
So he said, okay. And he took care of it. So hopefully it's there today, and I'll be driving tomorrow.
I had an experience where I took something back to a shop, and they said, okay, we'll go ahead and fix it for free. They had my truck for 6 months. I forgot I had a truck. I was like, did we have another truck? Kerry's like, yeah, you left it at that motherfucking shop. Go get it.
Got an extra bill in the mail and was like, wait a minute, we ain't got this car here.
Oh man, it was
you
brutal.
You got one with storage.
That was our old Suburban, man, and we traded a '91 Pontiac Firebird for it straight across, and it was a great truck, but that 454 was sporadically incompetent. And it had a rebuilt engine on it, and it was within warranty, and I took it back, but the owner, you know, like the shop had changed ownership, so the new owner was like, yeah, fuck you, I ain't taking it. I said, no, I got a receipt, I got paperwork, you got to do it. And so he finally said, fine, and took the truck back, and he just kind of had it. He kind of like made my life hell for 6 months.
He said, I'm going to fix it, but when I get time to fix it.
That's right. We got nothing better to do, and I'm paying a guy that I have to pay, and he ain't got nothing to do. I'll have him come over there and beat a wrench on the side of your drum.
And then when you got it back, he said, I used it. It runs good.
Yeah. No. I got it back around the same way it did when it went in. I said, screw it. He did that on purpose.
Just put more gas in it.
That's right. Just put more gas in it. So it doesn't run right. That's all right. Just live with it.
So I started thinking this, you know, because the guy has their, once they do the service and they fix the transmission on my car, they try to sell the extended warranty because they get a 1 year warranty on it. Anything additional is $250 a year to buy. And then I started thinking, do I really need it? Do I buy it? Do I not buy it? And I think I'm just going to have to buy it.
What kind of car is it?
It's a 2004 Mitsubishi Galant.
Oh.
Never given me any problems. It's been beautiful. But, you know, other items that I purchased before, they always try to give you the extended warranty. And I seriously need to think of when should you buy that extended warranty. Give you my glasses, for example. I had a pair of glasses for 3 years, and they always try to sell you the scratch-resistant lenses. And they're, of course, $80 more than the regular lenses. So I went ahead and I bought them, and I never had any problems with my glasses. They always stayed where they had to be, never dropped them. This time around, I said, I'm not going to get it. And, of course, yesterday I dropped my glasses. They all scratched up. So when do you buy? How do you know when to buy?
Well, when it's reasonable. You know what I mean? When it's going to be 10% of the cost of replacement of the thing, then it's generally reasonable for a period of time, but not a year. I mean, $250 a year?
A year.
Hell no. I don't know. I work on cars a lot myself, so my numbers are always askew. Because I know that Mitsubishi Galant. I know I can get a salvage transmission, which is the way I would go, because you want that factory built transmission. You don't want somebody else. And once a transmission's been cracked open, man, it's just not right. You want it built new from the factory in the super clean environment. You know, it's just got to be that way. And some transmissions go bad. Some transmissions will run for 300,000 miles, and you'll never, ever touch those things. So I know that on that Mitsubishi Galant, I can get a salvage tranny for $600 to $1,000. I can have it installed, even if I don't touch it. I can have it installed for about $400. So my cost on that's $1,000 to $1,400 to replace that transmission next time something goes wrong.
Totally.
That's my cost. So $250 a year, you know. The Lincoln's a perfect example. I drove that car for 160,000 miles, put in a rebuilt transmission. Now it's got another 40,000 miles, and I haven't touched the transmission again. Not a rebuilt. I put in a salvage transmission. And it cost me $1,000 to put in that salvage transmission. It would have cost me $1,800 to have it rebuilt. I just don't trust the rebuild as much as I do the salvage.
Well, you know, the only thing that actually sold me on the rebuild was the fact, you know, you really don't know what you're going to get if you get a salvaged or a used transmission. And it's like, okay, I already know what's wrong with this one. Let's just fix it and move on.
Well, you're going to get a factory-built transmission. That's what you're going to get. And most salvage companies will guarantee that it will go, you know, for 30 days or whatever. They'll guarantee that. And once you know that it works, then it works. You know, it's not like near the end of its life. It's either it works or it doesn't work. And if a car's been hit and gotten in an accident, and that's the reason it's salvaged, which is 90% of the time why they're there, then, you know, you're getting a good factory tranny. I mean, and they put on it what miles were on the tranny when you get it, so you may get one the same or less miles than you had. Now, yeah, you don't know how well it was maintained, but I have a definite philosophy with trannies. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Don't change the oil. Don't get it serviced. Don't do nothing to that tranny. There's something about you just want it closed, shut, done. Don't touch it. Make sure that it has enough oil in it. Top it off when it needs it.
And you're good to go.
160,000 miles on the first tranny on the Lincoln. I never, never did anything to that tranny.
Well, that's how this one was. Never, ever. Hell, I learned there that you had to flush it every 40 to 45,000 miles on the car.
Well, yeah. And that's what they want you to believe. And how much they want you to pay for that?
Oh, I didn't ask. I was like, let's just stick with what worked before. Because I had that car for almost... You know, it was almost 4 years. I was like, and I didn't have a problem with it.
I've seen basic tranny services from $80 for flushing to $500. Just they're saying, this is just the maintenance. Sir, you need maintenance. The thing runs good. I don't need shit. It's like going to the doctor when you're healthy. What the hell's wrong with you? Annual checkup, my ass, and you ain't touching my ass.
That'll be $40. One finger, two finger.
$40. You know what? Doctors should have to give you a price list up front. That's bullshit. So, just my philosophy with trannies. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. When it's broke, replace the whole damn thing.
Well, holy moly.
Rip that sumbitch out, throw it away, put in a different one.
You learn something new every day, boy. Next time my car breaks, we're going to consult with you first.
Man, replace it.
It was pricey when we did.
Yeah. No, it's expensive. It really is expensive. Trannies is that thing. And the reason why the tranny shops get you is even if you think you know something about cars, you don't think you know nothing about trannies.
That's right.
Everybody's like, I don't understand. It just changes gears, and I go faster and slower, and I step on the gas, shifts down. You know, and I know there's bands and fluids and... Nobody really understands transmissions.
Because they're complex devices. That's what the little sign says inside the lobby.
They are not freaking complex devices.
They have all the little parts. It's over 300 parts and gears and all the jazz. I got scared when I saw how they broke it down.
Yeah, they have that thing that looks like a brain. Mm-hmm. And it's got little ball bearings and springs in it and moves all around. Yeah, you know, I've torn down a tranny before. It's... it can be complicated, and there can be special tools required for different transmissions. But that's the same reason why I say transmission goes. You drive down to the factory and say, I want a brand new one, which will cost you, or you get a salvage one that's not been rebuilt. And when you get, and here's the other little piece of advice on the salvage for all you listeners out there that are going, oh yeah. This is the piece of advice. When you get a rebuilt tranny, you don't let them open it up, really. What you do is you have them replace the front main seal and the pan seal and the rear seal. So those are the seals. You get those three seals replaced, because usually when they've been sitting for a while, those seals dry up, and as soon as you start the engine, it starts leaking around those seals. So that's how you do it. Front, rear, pan seal. Have them do that.
The seals.
Put it in there.
So now we learned about trannies.
Yeah.
Well, one type of tranny.
Tranny 101.
Yeah.
By Professor Ehrlich.
That's right.
Good damn, Mr. Ehrlich.
What else you want to know?
Now, you know, you learn something new every day.
Like what, Armando?
Today we learned about trannies. Yesterday we learned you don't leave Hector messages on his phone. Ever.
They don't know no good.
No good.
Uh-uh.
Because I called him yesterday, and I got a call, and they said, your car isn't ready. It's going to be ready tomorrow morning, probably like around 10-ish. I said, uh-oh, I'm going to need a ride to work. So I called Edgar, and I left him a message. And I said, you know, left my little message, and 5-6 minutes later, I get a call back. And who was on the phone? Edgar. And he said, now, I know you left me a message because I heard you talking, but I don't know what you want. He said, I didn't listen to it. I just heard your voice and deleted it, and so I wanted to see what you wanted. So memo to self, don't leave Edgar any messages because he doesn't listen to them.
Well, and don't you like his little message on his messages?
Leave a message.
Leave a message. That's it. There's nothing else.
You should change it to, don't bother, I'll call you back if I know the number.
See,
that's just it.
On mine, I have a big, long one because I want motherfuckers to hang up before it gets to the voicemail. I don't want to have to call my voicemail just to delete a hang up. On Edgar's, you know, once you get to that message, it's automatically going to leave a message. You have to delete a bunch of hang ups.
Yeah, well, I don't even.
He doesn't even know if they're hang ups. He doesn't listen to them. He just deletes.
I don't listen to them. Yeah.
Beep, beep.
He got that Ehrlich mentality going.
Yeah, if you're not in my phone already, like I told Armando, if you're not in my phone, I'm not even picking it up. That's it.
Yeah. Well, don't call me at night. I get home, my phone goes into a drawer, the drawer closes, and I move on. And at work, I don't answer it. I don't even know why I have it. It's just a spare thing I carry around. Drive me nuts.
But you know, it's that Ehrlich mentality that kicks in after hanging around with Tim for so long.
You gotta get that, man. It's common sense.
You know, Friday, you would have been proud of me if you were there.
Yeah.
The little Ehrlich in me grew. I was talking to Doug about something, and I forgot what we were talking about.
Because it didn't have to do with you, so you tuned him out.
I tuned him out halfway through the conversation. I said, and wait a minute, you got to bust the Ehrlich when you do the Ehrlich mentality. I looked at him to give him a little feed so he thought I was still paying attention, and then I walked away. And then he tells me, but wait a minute, I wasn't done talking to you. And I said, but I was done talking, so we're done. And I walked away.
I was done listening. It was all over.
It was a beautiful thing. But I learned, that's what the new thing that I learned yesterday, you don't leave Edgar messages. And something that was reiterated was that you can't buy time. No matter how much you want it, you can't have more of it. Yesterday, we went to Six Flags Magic Mountain. And I was in line to get on X2, the ride. And when I first got there, the gentleman at the front entrance, right before you get into the little line to actually wait on it, he said, the wait is 3 hours from here. And I said, I'm going to beat those 3 hours, and I bet you we're going to get there sooner. And we had to leave the park at 2:30 because I started school yesterday. And it was about 12:40 when I got in line. Well, sure enough.
What time did you get to the park?
We got there around, I want to say 9:45, 10 o'clock.
At Universal?
No, Six Flags.
Six Flags. Oh, okay.
And it wasn't too crowded. It wasn't too hot. It was a nice day. But I got there at 12:40, started getting in line. And then 2 o'clock rolled in, and I saw that I was not at the front of the line yet. I started panicking, but the line progressed. I wasn't in line for 3 hours, so that's the only upside to it.
But let me just ask, what do you do for 2 hours in line? Do you do anything?
I was talking to individuals in line, and you ear hustle. You got to ear hustle a lot because I was the only one waiting in line. I got left out. It's only so much you can talk to strangers. So once the jokes went and the conversation turned dry, I put my Ehrlich ears on and just tuned everybody out.
No, man, that's not what you do when you're in line, man. You gotta like move around and try and build up a sweat and start stinking, and then get some breath stink going, and then talk to the people in front of you, hoping that they'll just decide to leave.
Yeah, there you go.
But wait a minute,
drop a fart bomb every once in a while. Get out of the line. Get out of my way. Can I cut?
Can I get ahead of you?
Can I get ahead? Oh, yeah, you go. Get out of here.
No,
did anybody crowd you? Like the line is, like you're keeping up the line. You're holding up the line. So they're behind you, just right on you.
Yep.
So
wait a minute. I got scared for a moment there. I was literally frightened because I'm in line and I'm tuning everybody out and I'm just looking ahead. There was a little six-year-old girl that came up to me, grabbed me by the hand, and she called me daddy. And I was like, what? Oh, no, no, no. I looked at her, and I started looking for her mommy because I was like, nope.
Start looking for an ex-girlfriend?
I was like, no, no,
oh,
no.
Oh, hell no. Wait a minute. I remember you. That wasn't me. That was got to look like me.
Oh, you looked around.
I was like, look at her hair. She got way more hair than I do. That can't be mine.
Oh, you looked around and you go, now she looks familiar, but it can't be her. It can't be her.
And there was a girl there. You know, there's got to be a cutoff point to how freaky you can get with your partner. Because there was a girl there that had earplugs. And she had some nice little plugs that had sparkly things on it. And her boyfriend was asking her if she'd be willing to stretch her ears out a little more.
Oh, you mean them big,
yeah,
big,
the big,
big
circle.
Circle thing stretching out your earlobes?
Uh-huh. And she said, well, that depends how big do you want me to stretch them.
Them National Geographic things?
And his answer was, big enough for it to fit.
Ooh.
Wow.
That's just nasty.
I was like, my first thought was, how bad is the rest of it that you want to go in her ear?
Like, you can't find any other places that'd be more interesting.
You ain't lying, boy. He wants to go in your ear lobe. Nowhere else. Wow. There's got to be a cutoff point somewhere.
There ain't no cutoff point when it comes to sex, man. People do freaky ass shit. Line it up. What are you thinking about? That ain't into it.
But the earlobe. Imagine if you're in the middle of it. And the phone rings, and you just jump up real quick. Are you gonna tear the lobe?
All that went through your mind, didn't it?
All of it, because I was alone.
You're lying for two and a half hours. What the hell else are you gonna do?
You ain't lying. I just ear hustled a little bit of it, and just moved on and just build on that.
You're sitting there going, "Man, if I get on the show, man, I got some shit to talk about."
Well, we sure did, boy. That was the first thing.
All lined up,
now,
man.
Armando,
yeah,
I've never been on that ride, or I can't even remember I've been.
Well, Hector,
there.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
So I can't tell you about it.
Well, you didn't make it.
No, I got to the point. Right, there's a little rail right before they start hand selecting who's going on. They'll only let a certain amount of people start walking to the rail before you board the actual ride. Once I got to the, remember, I had to leave because I had to start school at 2:30. I got at that point, at probably like 2:40, I got right there and I had to ask the lady. I was going to be brave and just screw it, be late for school. But it's the first day. They tend to drop you if you're not there. So I said, I got to go. So I asked the little lady that hand selects the people who's going and where she cuts the line off. I said, how far is it from here? What's the time? She said, 20 to 30 minutes from here. And at that point, I was done. But I saw the little room where they start boarding. But I didn't get to ride the ride.
Did it look pretty cool?
It looked cool.
It was part of the ride.
When you ride, you jump in and the seats turn, so you're literally horizontal. You're looking up, and when the little cart pulls into the rail, you go backwards. So you're going up, but you're going backwards.
Yeah. Is that the way you imagine it?
Well, I was actually on X1.
Okay.
And that was an awesome ride.
Now, how long is, I have to ask, because you know.
Those 3 hours would have been for 45 seconds worth of a ride.
Oh.
But it was worth it.
Okay.
It was worth it. Because I remember when I went on X1, I was in line for probably 2 hours. It wasn't 3 hours, but it was 2 hours, and it was pretty cool. It was towards the end when they were closing the park, so we actually got a ride on it 3 consecutive times because no one was in line. But it was cool.
Huh.
But I got a class, 20 minutes late, hauled ass, made it to Cal Poly. Boring teacher, monotone voice, putting us to sleep, didn't make sense.
And you're thinking about that ride.
And I'm thinking, I was 20 minutes away from getting on that damn ride, and I spent 2 hours in line talking about some girl in her lobes and how much more she has to stretch her lobes.
Well, and the good news is you know, she's got 2 lobes, so he can always invite a friend.
Naughty. But I must say that, you know, my teacher, one thing he did share with us, and he's old. I mean, he's like mid-70s, you know, he's getting up there in age, and he did comment that it's time, he was supposed to retire. He wasn't supposed to be there this semester, and he's still there because he's not all there mentally. So we asked him to kind of elaborate a little, and his big plans were retire, buy a mobile home or an RV, and see the world with him and his wife. Well, 6 months ago, his wife was diagnosed with a brain tumor. So 3 months ago, she passed away, and, you know, he's still upset, doesn't know what's really going on, so he hasn't really selected the new type of RV, and he hasn't found a new girlfriend to hit yet.
Ah.
He says he wants his sabooty to put in the RV before he goes on his retirement.
So he decided to stay a professor because, you know, them chicks at the college, man.
You ain't lying, boy.
Hey, professor.
You got to start screening and see who's failing the class, boy.
That's right. It's like that story, 1,000 Days at Sea, this professor at a school, right? He gets himself sponsored to spend 1,000 days on a sailboat at sea with his 23-year-old ex-student new girlfriend. I was like, you are 58 years old. You got a 23-year-old. At some point, you go, you know what? 18's not old enough for stupid people. Yeah, you can't make your own decisions.
But overall, he was a nice guy. But, I mean, he was... He was a character. I mean, he got suspenders going and just wasn't dressed very well. You can just tell that he was really impacted by the loss of his wife. But he did give us 2 tips on how to be successful in that class. He said, don't screw up your assignments. Do them how I tell you to do them and make sure you laugh at all my jokes.
Well, that's good.
And people laughed. And he said, no, I'm serious. The last person that didn't laugh at my jokes failed my class. So of course, and he tells like the lamest jokes, and he's one of those people that he can't finish the joke before he laughs at his own joke for a couple of minutes, and then he spits out the rest. And by then it ain't
like
funny.
That.
It ain't funny by then.
I know somebody like that.
Hey man, don't pick on me like that.
No, I'm thinking about myself. I start cranking up. Then I forget the joke.
Well, see, that's a joke within a joke.
Yeah. And I go, oh, you don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's funny.
It'd be funny if I could tell it.
Yeah.
If I could just get it all out.
Hey, just a quick question, Armando.
Yeah.
You know where we can get diesel?
Diesel?
Yeah.
Yeah, up here on the right. We'll be all right.
All right.
This is Truck Central. You can get diesel at right here anywhere.
Especially at JJ's, what, automotive? Make a left?
J&R.
On Poplar.
On Poplar?
Yeah.
No.
Valley Ford.
And you, I think what you meant was JR, not JJ.
Well, I was close. It started with the J, and it's
J&R Fleet Service right here, and then, you know, is this Elm right here?
Yeah.
See, there we go. Almost got you home.
You know, one thing I was thinking about as he's telling me he has to find some new booty to take on his RV was, how is this man going to, well, you know, other than the students, but if he was out on a typical day and just sees an attractive woman and he wants to see what's going on, he's going to have to pull his little bag of tricks out and bust a line that will still be applicable today to pick somebody up. So I started thinking of, like, some pickup lines that I used when I was out in the field, because, you know, I've been out of the field for years now, brother.
We almost have you home. We're going to have to drive around the block a couple times. Right here? No?
Right here.
Because it's really starting out to be funny.
No. We're going to be sitting outside your house. Your wife's going to walk out with her arms crossed going, what the hell are you still doing in that car?
Didn't I tell you 7:45?
Hey, you ain't lying, out of that car.
You ain't lying, boy. But what? And I started.
And what is that pickup line? What is that golden gem that scored you that homemaker you got at the house?
Mine was I was really smooth because when I had actually walked in and I wasn't even introduced to my wife yet. I just seen her there, and she was sitting on the love seat, and I had came from dropping off my girlfriend at the time off at her grandmother's house, and I got a call and someone said they needed a wingman, so here I go. Because I'm an expert kamikaze pilot. And so I said, okay, I'm going to take one for the team, and we'll see what's going on. And as I entered the room, I felt a little tired, so I got pillow, laid it on her lap, and just laid there on the love seat. And she asked me, are you tired? Do you feel comfortable? And I said, yeah, thank you for asking. I just laid there. And that kind of sparked the conversation, and true story.
Is that a pickup line?
I don't know.
Wait a minute,
all I know is the love seat.
No, the love seat. But then, you know, we were talking, and I asked her, can I buy you a fish sandwich?
Oh, okay, right there, we're at your house.
We got to go. We got to close that up.
There's a lot more to that.
Yeah.
There really is. Yeah,
all right, man. This has been SoCal Traffic Gas. This is Tim.
And this is Edgar.
And special guest star.
Armando.
Wah! And we'll pick this up some other time, man. Yeah. We got to get. We're out of here.